broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio with hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. It all starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for March the 6th in the year of our Lord 2018. This is our one of two. And our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. Yes, indeed, we use the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers. And absolutely, we want to take America back. We want to make America great again. To do that, we got to make America moral again. And we reject revolution, ladies and gentlemen. It's bloody, it's messy, it's no fun. Our founding fathers already paid that price. Now it's time for us to use the peaceful restoration method they gave us, the supreme law of the land, ladies and gentlemen. If we apply pure application of the principles that made America great once, we can do it again. It's called the Great Peaceful Restoration. That's what we're all about. Are you aboard? We need your help. LibertyRoundtable.com. Donate and get involved today, would you please? We had our guest on yesterday, Mr. Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org, doing a phenomenal job. We talked about the red light camera ban passes the Arizona House. We pray it passes the Senate and gets signed into law. It makes intersections dangerous. It costs a ton of unnecessary money. It reminds me of the Declaration of Independence where, hey, they talk about eating out our substance and literally harassing our people. And, you know, these red light cameras are bad news. These companies that make the cameras literally get paid on every transaction running through their camera. It's a sham, and they ought to be shut down. Yesterday, they're unconstitutional. Good for the Arizona State House. We also talked about the Wyoming Campaign for Liberty has found initial success on their first efforts to recognize precious metal as legal tender and avoid state tax. They're doing a great job in Wyoming. More and more states are realizing gold and silver, legal tender. You got to dig it. Utah was the first to lead the way, and other states are starting to follow suit. That's great news. We talked about Medicaid expansion was killed in Idaho. ConCon applications were successfully shut down in Virginia, Idaho, Massachusetts, South Dakota, Washington, and Wyoming. So that's great news on those shutdowns as well. The resolution to end United States support of Saudi-led genocide of the people. That was good news, too. So there's a lot of good news, folks. People are doing good things. Don't let you believe it's all negative. Don't you dare believe that America is done for, stick a fork in it. Don't you dare believe that we can do nothing. We're already beat at every turn. It isn't true. When good people stand up, when good people stand together, when the new media takes center stage, we have wonderful things happen almost every time. Do we get beat on occasion? Yes, we do, folks. We do. Now, in the days following the 9/11 attacks, Congress passed into law a 60-word sentence that set the stage for perpetual war. It's the 2001 authorization for use of military force. It has no time limits, no military constraints, no exit strategy. I mean, it's disaster, folks. It has effectively become a blank check for any president at any time to wage war without oversight. We got to stop that, folks. So the ending of the U.S. support for this Saudi-led genocide stuff has got to stop. We got to stand up and understand we're a peaceful nation, folks. And I love to see North and South Korea starting to talk. Maybe North Korea will disarm. I pray it's not just a fantasy, right? We talked about yet another senseless mass killing. Women and children among 25 dead. That's the United States offensive. Yeah. Why are we doing that stuff, folks? We talked about the Utah legislative update. Good bill, bad bill, bad bill, good bill. Very confusing. I guess this Monday, though, it'll all end. Thank the heavens for that. Our framers went to great lengths, ladies and gentlemen, to divide and subdivide authority among various stakeholders in the political process. And thank heavens they did that. Anyway, Lowell Nelson, always a tremendous guest. CampaignForLiberty.org to check out who they are, what they do, and to get involved. They just do a phenomenal job over at Campaign for Liberty. Second hour, we talked about the Oscars. I guess celebrities push gun control surrounded by a wall of 500 well-armed officers, writes Jerome Hudson. So, yeah, they're going to push for gun control with all their security in place, aren't they? The hypocrisy is beyond imagination. We talked about advertisers are fleeing InfoWars. Alex Jones' channel, CNN, reports the details. Again, all conservative folks are under fire by Google and YouTube and Facebook and Twitter and these folks that want to control the internet. Alex Jones taking a beating, says CNN. Again, I don't get anything to promote Alex Jones. All I'm telling you is it's wrong that these huge entities are controlling the internet as they do. Now, you could say, well, Sam, they're private companies. Oh, but they get the government lever pulled in their favor plenty of times. And many of these organizations were built on government tax dollars, folks. All right? In other words, even Twitter now says it's part of the, quote, political process. So, very strange stuff. Newspapers, for example, to prove my point, launching a PAC. Their goal, to lobby Congress. They want to battle with Google and Facebook, this group of newspapers, right? And they all want government to intercede in their behalf. It's called the News Media Alliance, NMA, which represents over 2,000 newspapers in the United States. And they have launched a political action committee to take on YouTube and Facebook. Or Google and Facebook, I should say, which is really YouTube, right? By the way, while that's happening, Newsweek couldn't pay its rent on time, according to news documents. Or, I'm sorry, court documents in the news. So Newsweek melting down, Facebook and Twitter in a big old fight with, what, 2,000 newspapers? Wow. By the way, if you dig into the money tree, it's strange because they're all owned by similar people. People reacted big time to Donald Trump threatening to kill PBS. They ran around like chickens with their heads cut off. Donald Trump just saved billions of dollars by axing two of the less favorite federal programs. What are we talking about, ladies and gentlemen? We're talking about PBS and NPR, National Public Radio. Donald Trump wanting to get rid of the subsidies. They're acting like the sky is falling. I think it'd be delightful. Let the free market do its deal. Deregulate, get out of the way, let the free market duke it out, folks. But again, when Americans complain because Facebook and Twitter and Google and YouTube hate everybody that's conservative, you know what? Conservatives, why don't you build your own institutions? Why do you just go to all the mainstream press and then wonder why things go wrong? I mean, even Ron Paul does this, right? He wants to raise a bunch of money and, oh my goodness, we got to advertise in the media, and he spends hundreds of millions of dollars in the media with the very people that hate his guts, and then he wonders why things go wrong. And then I try to get a hold of Ron Paul and say, listen, why don't we use that money to build our own institutions? It'll be very difficult at first. We won't get the word out, but over time, if we can raise that money, we'll be able to get our own word out. We'll have our seat at the table. But then everybody just looks at me like I'm clueless or something. It's amazing. Now, somebody would say, well, Sam, what are you talking about? Why don't you build your own institution? Oh, I did. Well, Sam, your institution is just so small it won't matter. That's what they next say. You know what? You can't win with these people. If my institution was 10 times bigger, they'd say it needs to be bigger. If it influenced more people, they'd say, well, then after a while, then what would they say next? It's kind of like the Republicans in control of Congress. Well, give us control of the House. We'll do something. Oh, give us control of the House and the Senate. Then we'll get rid of the Education Department. Oh, give us control of the House, the Senate, and the White House. Then we'll do something. We'll get rid of abortion. You know, we'll shut down Roe versus Wade. Give us the House, the Senate, the White House, and, well, the majority of states' governors, and then we'll do something. And now, when will it end? What do they need next? This is what I mean. So you can talk about how big or small Liberty News Radio is, but we have built our own institution, ladies and gentlemen. We put our money where our mouth is, and we do what we say others ought to be doing. We just now ask folks to help us make it grow. Because, look, we've already got the apparatus in place. We've got 24/7 around-the-clock talk radio. We just need more affiliates. We just need more listeners. We just need to promote it on billboards and tell the tale of liberty broader, bigger. But that it all takes money. We've only got so much money, so much cash, so much time that we can do ourselves. All right, anyway, enough of that. LibertyRoundtable.com, donate today. LibertyNewsRadio.com, get involved. Thank you for all of you who are doing things. Your contributions, your involvement is not overlooked. We are grateful and we know who you are, and we're appreciative of all that you do. Donald Trump talking about 25% tariffs on steel, 10% on aluminum. Now he says he may consider lowering the tariff in exchange for new terms on NAFTA, Washington Times. I think it's good that Donald's using this as a bargaining chip. I think it's good that he knows better than to start this high on tariffs. But I want to talk about tariffs in a minute. Pennsylvania State Department in hot water over massive illegal voting scandal. Did you hear me? We're talking about the Pennsylvania State Department. This isn't some minor, oh my goodness, a voting machine went haywire. This is the State Department for Pennsylvania. Huge vote fraud scenario. Wow. All right, that's a recap of the broadcast that took place just yesterday. It is available on demand if you want to check it out. Tell your friends, spread the word, listen at your convenience. It's all available at libertyroundtable.com. The broadcast is now extended Monday through Saturday. We're live. Tell all your friends about that new incredible change. Thanks to you folks who are putting money in the kitty to support us. Every penny counts. Every penny is helpful. LibertyRoundtable.com. Without further ado, news the networks refuse to use starts now. Kirk Cosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome, sir. I said I wanted to talk about tariffs. We're going to do it in seconds. I got a brilliant idea for the Donald. Hopefully he's listening. If he's not, I bet his friends are, and they'll give him a download and a report. That'll be good news. The FBI listens all the time, by the way. Do you want raw honey delivered directly to your door? If so, get a hold of Kurt to learn more. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com, or smile and dial 801-669-2211. You're listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, couple of quick housekeeping chores as the broadcast gets underway today. Kurt Cosby's with me. If you want raw honey delivered directly to your door, get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Raw honey tastes phenomenal, by the way. Makes incredible gifts, tastes great. Got to have some in your house, folks. Phenomenal tasting stuff. All right, now, Kurt, before we get started, I took a little poll, talked to a few people and stuff like that, and I want to just tell you that we've decided to keep the recaps that we do because people say that it's really helpful for them. They like the recap. It kind of summarizes. As Lowell said, it lets us kind of update on occasion if something changes within the 24 hours. So if people are listening to the recap, even if they've heard a lot of it before, they get the good summary If there's any changes, they get the updated, quote, changes on the fly. They like that. So we're going to keep the recaps. Are you good with that?
That's fine, Sam. Yeah.
All right. Some of the stories we talk about, too, we say that the stories are so vital. It's not about me and my recaps or the monologues or anything else, but it is about the news stories that we talk about. They're so vital. Just, for example, the celebration of good news that Lowell talked about yesterday. Man, that's worth repeating, Kurt, so people know good things are happening. And if you missed yesterday, you just miss out on it all. But if you hear yesterday or today, then you get a glimpse of it, right? It's pretty neat, I think, the work that many, many, many people around the country are doing. And we talked about Wyoming and Arizona and Idaho and Utah and all over the nation, people doing good stuff. It's pretty neat stuff. So I like that. All right, so we're going to keep the recaps. If you like, they're a vital part of what Liberty Roundtable Live does. And I don't know any other talk show host that does that. Do you, Kurt, know of anybody else that does a recap of their previous shows?
Well, the reason they don't do a recap, Sam, is if they did, they'd say, like, well, we talked about, like, in 3 hours, like, two news stories. You know, and that would make them look kind of silly for spending 3 hours to talk about two news stories.
Good
or maybe
point.
One.
And part of the problem, too, is the stories they talk about and the take they have isn't even very unique, hardly, Kurt. It's like just a regurgitation of TV on the radio half the time, too. Once in a while, there's something unique. But anyway, I find that interesting. All right, now, I want to talk about Donald Trump and trade, Kurt. So yesterday, we talked about Donald Trump put 25%, or he's going to put 25% tariff on steel, 10% on aluminum. Then he said, I'm going to back off and negotiate that for NAFTA. And at first, the Republicans were just kind of befuddled by the Donald and shocked and surprised. And Donald says, I ain't backing down. And now Republicans are literally just beside themselves. Paul Ryan flat out going against the Donald, a big rift between Paul and Donald on this. And Donald says, I'm not backing down. And it's a big old fiasco, Kurt. And what the Republicans are saying is, oh, my goodness, Donald, you're gonna tip off a trade war. That's going to be crazy. Don't do it. It'll just ruin the economy. Remember something, Kurt. These guys said if Donald got elected, it would ruin the economy. Then they said if Donald lowered taxes, it would ruin the economy. These guys just can't talk about anything else but the economy being ruined. They can't celebrate the good economy while it's here. They're so busy telling you how ruined it will be. Every day the sky is falling. Every day right around the corner is just the absolute ruin of everything. Kurt, these people are naysayers to the nth degree. And I reject the whole idea we're not going to ruin the economy and we're not going to spark a trade war. Okay, but isn't that how they sound, Kurt? Everywhere you look, they act like it's just going to be a complete meltdown?
Well, isn't it always a trade war, Sam?
Well, it depends on how you look at it.
Yeah, see, that I guess you got to define trade war.
See, I don't think it's a trade war.
All right.
And the reason I don't is because I don't think war is the word that I would use for competition, Kurt. Let's just say that I start selling honey, just for instance, okay? Are you and I at a war now, Kurt? Are we just, you know, in a big war?
It's the phrase they like to use.
I know, but I say it's bogus.
Competition is what it should be called.
War is bad, and the term used is bad, okay? I want to use the word competition because I think competition is good, Kurt.
Yeah.
And if you and I were selling honey, you know what? We might not be the best of friends because we, you know, are doing the same thing, and I'd want to grow my business, you'd want to grow your business, you could say we're at odds. But believe it or not, most folks that are at odds, Kurt, can find their own niche. For example, I might sell a different kind of honey than you, or I might sell in a different location than you, or I might, you know, there's a lot of ways to where it doesn't have to be a war. And I believe that should be true with trade. I think we should make and promote all that we can. But there's going to be holes in what we can produce. For example, I don't know that the United States grows a lot of those exotic fruits and such, right?
Good point.
And I don't know that some of those things we can grow very well with our climate and our circumstances, okay? There's things that other countries make that are good. There's unique tastes, and as a country becomes more and more and more affluent, they want a lot of these other things. That's good, and that ought to be embraced. We don't have to be the coconut capital of the world, right?
Yep.
Okay, and so I believe that there's holes in our trade and holes in our things. We also make things, but as competition happens, somebody else might make a better flat-screen TV than us. Hey, we might want to import those for a while as our guys start to work on that or whatever the case may be. But it doesn't have to be a war. So I first reject the idea that it's a war, Kurt. That's the first question. Secondly, I don't like this idea that it's going to be a trade war. In other words, it's going to go sideways. It's going to go bad. It's just going to go all wrong. See, that isn't true or doesn't have to happen either, Kurt. President Trump gets tough on what? The EU, Kurt? I thought the EU decided they weren't going to be the EU anymore. Weren't they saying that, Kurt?
Well, you got Britain who, the people voted to exit the whole EU thing. But
so how can Donald get tough on the EU that people voted against?
The unelected bureaucrats there, they figured the people just kind of just messed up. And so they didn't really listen to him, Sam, and that's what's going on there in Britain. But, that's what's happening.
Now, who's Juncker?
That's one of the leaders. Well, he's an unelected leader over there.
So he's not a leader at all. He's some bureaucrat thug that just needs to get out of the way and sit down and be quiet.
Right.
The people first off rejected the EU, number one. And number two, I don't see how Donald could be at odds with the EU. See, all this is fake news, Kurt. Donald's not at odds with a group that the citizens over there voted against. How is Donald at odds with that group?
Good point.
Now, what do they say? He gets tough on EU after they threaten what? Taxes on what? Jeans and bourbon and all kinds of stuff?
Yeah, and Harley Davidsons. This is a Breitbart piece, and... So what you've got is this guy, Jean-Claude Juncker. They call him the president of the unelected
European Commission.
Look,
you read this word.
Hold
on a minute. You read this word in the United States, and it's Juncker. J-U-N-C-K-E-R. Juncker. Now, I know it's Juncker or whatever the heck it is, but I'm just telling you, in America, you read that thing and you say Juncker, don't you, Kurt?
Yeah, well, that's exactly what we ought to do with him because he's... junk him out, because he's not the president. He's just an unelected bureaucrat. And I guess they were having a black tie event there in Hamburg, Germany. And he had this to say. So,
but they even admitted the story, as you wisely point out, Kurt, after these unelected leaders start babbling at the mouth, right? So Donald's at odds with unelected leaders. I mean, this is just amazing. Now, I appreciate Breitbart pointing it out, because nobody else is even talking about it, right, Kurt? Not in this detail that matters, anyway.
No. So he says, so now we will also impose import tariffs. Then he went on to say, this is basically a stupid process. The fact that we have to do this, but we have to do it. We will now impose tariffs on motorcycles, Harley Davidson, on blue jeans, Levi's, on bourbon. We can also do stupid. We also have to be this stupid, he huffed. I guess President Trump was unfazed by that. He fired back on Twitter. If the EU wants to further increase their already massive tariffs and barriers on U.S. companies doing business there, we will simply apply a tax on their cars, which freely pour into the U.S. He went on to say they make it impossible for our cars and more to sell there. Big trade imbalance, he said. I guess according to this article, they say while the mainstream media in Britain and Europe has gone out of its way to paint President Trump's proposed aluminum and steel tariffs as unreasonable, they say it's true that the EU imposes tariffs of 10% on American cars, while the U.S. imposes tariffs of just 2.5% on EU-made cars. Making American cars more expensive for British consumers and hurting American exporters.
Okay, Kurt, I got a brilliant idea. Donald, listen. Anybody who's, bringing the details of the broadcast to the Donald, I'm sure there's many. Listen up, because I got an idea for you. It's a brilliant idea that's going to be impossible for the world to reject. It's going to be impossible for the world to escape the discussions. I say we just do it like this. I'll tell you right after the break, okay? Isn't that how good radio's done, they say? The professionals always do what they call a cliffhanger. In seconds, I'll explain. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. We support Donald Trump taxing other nations as required.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Oh, Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, so here's my brilliant idea, Kurt. Why don't we just create, say, a 1% tariff on everything coming into the United States that we bring in that we don't have matching reality for? And that way, it's fair across the border. 2% or 5%, I'd have to do the internal details, and I don't have every, you know, tariff in front of me or whatever, but I know it's all over the map. I know we charge different fees for different things from different countries, different products. Everything's at different numbers. What if we were to simplify that and just have it across the board? Boom. And then anything that another country relates to us on, Kurt, we would tax them the same. So I don't care if the goods are the same. But we would tax the country the same. So as far as I understand, who charges 10% on cars, Kurt?
That's the EU.
I know, but I don't know what that means, because the EU is going away.
The European Union. Yeah, well, here's how that works.
It's not really going away, is it, Kurt?
Well, you remember how it works. If in Congress they want to do something and they really don't want to do it, you know, it's going to
then it's like passed but never enacted. It's kind of like the border wall that was happening back in 95 or
whenever they first started it. Yeah. And then if it's they want to spend more money, they can do that overnight. I mean, they can.
That's a wise point.
Just get that done.
All right. Anyway, so why don't we then just say, hey, we're going to put 10% on cars just like the EU when we trade with the EU, Kurt. In other words, we're going to across the board, we're going to match everybody. If China charges us, you know, 25% for eggs or steel or this or that or whatever else, then boom, we just match it all across
the board. It'd be a great place to start.
Well, and the reason that it'd be good is because then all Donald has to say is the reason I'm matching everybody on everything is because then whenever you want to talk about it with me in the news, I'm just going to say, well, all we're doing is doing what they do. If they want to drop theirs to zero, we're at zero now.
That's right. And, you know, take for example, the whole Mexico deal. You know, if you highlight the fact when you put the wall up or talk about that, that they pump all their drugs into America because they don't control their own, you know, out of control drug situation. That's what needs to be highlighted, not just the, oh, you know, we didn't let somebody in that wanted to have a better life, you know. I mean, the key things to promote, just like you're saying, is, hey, look, we're just going to treat everybody like they treat us, you know. And that's a great place to start.
Well, then you could highlight whatever. I don't think Americans even understand what the other countries are doing to us, Kurt. By the way, which countries have the highest tariffs, for example? Do you even know, Kurt?
Well, I'm pretty sure China has some big ones, you know, because that's how they built their massive, powerful economic engine is basically just doing everything themselves.
Now, here's what they say, for example, Kurt. There's U.S. data on import tariffs that are compiled by the World Bank and the World Trade Organization, WTO. They say it can be complicated because different rates can apply to different products from different partners in different countries. And the list of rates often do not match, quote, applied rates, Kurt. So the tariffs rankings are based below on the World Bank's best applied tariff figures, which account for the volume of imports from different partners in 2016. And they have this big old complicated list. But suffice it to say, you know, these countries are just abusing us, Kurt. And Donald's right on this. Yeah. But I'm afraid Donald has the guts to highlight it, but he doesn't have the guts to go all the way and really make a difference, Kurt. I think he has the talk, but not the walk.
And when you talk about the federal surplus and all that kind of thing, see, this is a, you know, I mean, the key thing here, another key part, is that it's a constitutional tariff kind of thing. It's a constitutional tax. It would be basically on other countries protecting our economy by not letting other countries, this is what they've done over the years, you know, for example, let's say one country might have wanted to control the watch trade, so then they'd subsidize their own companies and make them so that, hey, they could flood our markets and put our American companies out of business, and then they'd have the, you could call it the corner on that market. We've seen that happen over and over, whether it's, you know, with watches or whatever it is. And so it's nice to have somebody that's, well, acting, you know, more like an adult in the office.
Yeah, anyway, I find that interesting, all these different things. And I happen to know personally that even our most favored nation trading partner, you know, that's China, right, Kurt? I know, for example, certain backpacks and certain products and certain sleeping bags and things like that from China, for example, have a certain, you know, tariff. It's like 8%. They call them duties, Kurt. So now you got to get the discussion about a tariff and a duty, and it gets complicated fast.
Same thing, basically. It's a tax bringing it in.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You're talking about coming from China to here, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
It's not the way it is coming from here to China, but you can't even export that kind of stuff to China.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Same way with, you know, we have a company that we try to get some product into Canada. And, man, it's just like if it's $40 worth of product, they're going to charge them $40 besides that. You know, I mean, they have to pay basically double. There's so many cases like that, I believe, in the world.
You're right. Anyway, so my proposal would be, let's match every other country's tariffs / taxes on the United States.
Yeah, and eliminate free foreign, you know, this paying the Palestinians and all that other stuff.
Well, that's a whole different discussion, though.
Yeah.
So you're talking about getting rid of foreign aid. which I think is vital. You just got to make sure people understand the difference, though. You just completely switch gears to a whole different discussion. And the reason that I make sure that people understand these are separate, your point is that they relate, and I completely agree. But the reason they're totally separate is because no one's even talking about that, Kurt. Although they should be. Well, one guy probably is, and it's Rand Paul and Kurt Crosby. And they're spot on. Why are we giving aid to all these countries? Because here's the question. How does the tariffs work when you put a bunch of aid in there? That's like free money on top of the taxes, right?
Yeah, and then they're not able to use that money that we give them for free to kind of compete against us, are they?
Of course they are. That's why it's absolutely related, and that's why you're spot on to bring it up. But you got to let people understand it's a totally separate but related issue. It's not separate because it should be separate. We should simply say, hey, first thing we're going to do is cut off all foreign aid to all these other countries. Secondly, now we're going to put a tax on you folks, a tariff on you folks. What we're going to do is any item that we have import and exports of that's the same item, we're going to match whatever the country's got. Any item that isn't the same, whatever you import on us, or whatever you want to import to us, we're going to match the abuse you give us on our products. So let's say we give milk to the Mexicans, and the Mexicans give strawberries to us, Kurt, for example. Right? I'm saying if we don't give strawberries to Mexico, you can't match that one. But what we can do is say, well, hey, if you do that on strawberries at, you know, whatever percent, then, you know, I mean, I'm sorry, on milk, whatever percent, then we're going to make strawberries at that same percent. If you want to reduce the tariffs, then we encourage you to sit down on C-SPAN. And we'll go ahead and negotiate a plan. You want to bring it down to zero? By all means, let's get it done. If you want to, whatever, and et cetera. And so I think Donald's on to something here, Kurt, but I don't think he has the guts, the integrity, the knowledge, the experience, the transparency to really bring to the table what you're talking about, which would be a complete discussion about monies. Because if you're going to talk about a trade discussion or a tariffs or taxes discussion or an import-export discussion, you've got to talk about all the free money we pass everywhere, too. By the way, what are the imports on products versus the imports on free money we give, Kurt? How much do you think they charge us to import our money to their country?
I don't think they, they charge us this. For example, like in Palestine, you know, we give them like so many billions of dollars and then they badmouth us at the UN and, you know, say we're evil and all that kind of stuff. That's how they do it. Right?
Yeah, but there's no charge for the cashola, baby. They just take that with glee.
They get mad if we don't send it on time.
Do you think Donald will really drill into the discussion like we are, Kurt, and be super candid about this? Or do you think it's just going to be a waste of breath, a battle in the media, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera? I think it'll be easy to say we're just going to tax other nations what they tax us. No more, no less.
Yep.
And if it's not the same products, we're going to match. If they're abusive to our country, we'll be the same. If they're lower taxes, lower tariffs, we're going to do the same. And by the way, we're getting rid of all the billions and millions dollars in foreign aid. You know, how much in foreign aid do we give away a year, Kurt? Do you know the answer to that?
No.
See, Americans ought to know these things, and Donald could use this as an incredible educational opportunity to really help Americans know these things, right, Kurt? Couldn't we?
Oh, yeah. Yep, he's got his Twitter feed to educate him, you know?
Right. How much does the United States pay in foreign aid? We need to find that out. Because, again, that's all free money. How does that relate to the trade deficits? We ought to start with the free money we're giving away if we want to do something. See, Donald isn't even starting there, from what I understand, Kurt. Hang tight. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Every day I wake up, it's almost like a battle. It's like, well, you know, I could do this today. I could go get drunk.
I don't like beer. I'm an alcoholic because I can't, you know, stop drinking because it alters my mind, but I don't like alcohol.
And I had to keep telling myself that, you know, this is okay. Everybody does this. My whole life was just a big lie.
I can't control if I do take that drink because I'm an addict and I can't.
I admit it's messed me up.
I don't have a very good memory. I have a hard time remembering things when I learn them.
I can't concentrate on one thing for more than 5 or 10 minutes. You have fun until you hit rock bottom and it's not fun anymore.
I remember sitting in assemblies about drugs and I thought, that's never going to happen to me. I'm never going to be like those kids. But here I am.
The choices that you make are choices you're going to have to live with.
A public service message from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, I want to bring this up, though, this foreign aid discussion, Kurt. Do you have any idea how much we spend on foreign aid? What percent of our budget?
I was doing a little research on the break. NPR's got a piece, and let me just say this before we talk about it. NPR, in my opinion, are people who want to have more foreign aid.
Especially their bank accounts, huh, Kurt?
Well, yeah, they're part of the whole Kingman crowd where, hey, you know, it's all going to do better if we just wash it around the world. But, this is a piece from 2015, so it's not real, current. But
it's as current as you get out of the government, Kurt.
Yeah, guess how much of Uncle Sam's, or your money, goes to foreign aid? And then it says, guess again. Ponce Rooch is the author. Ponce, P-O-N-C-I-E, and Rooch, R-U-T-S-C-H. Where do they get these kind of people? Or how do they come up with a name like that? But they say, how much of the federal budget goes to foreign aid? What's your best guess? And then they give you some choices. But anyway, their answer, according to what's called the Kaiser Family Foundation. Now, the way I remember the Kaiser Family Foundation is just, kind of like the Ford Foundation or whatever. They're just big money. They want to spend more of it. Socialist, communist, etc. So they say they polled 1,505 people, and only 1 in 20 knew the right answer. Yeah, they say less than 1% of the $4 trillion federal budget goes to foreign aid.
Now, Kurt, I want to stop you, though, and say I'm convinced that's a lie.
Good point.
Okay.
And here's why I would say it's a lie. Because they say down in the story, they say, well, it kind of depends on your definition.
Yeah, that's right. It all depends on how you define foreign aid, doesn't it, Kurt? Because it's really hard to figure out foreign aid because, well, we have budgets, and then we spend more money than our budgets, and then we have projects that we did a long time ago, but they're not finished, that we have to continue funding. I know it was in the budget at a certain amount, but you got to spend way over budget, and you got to... And it goes on and on and on and on. Now, I got a question for you, Kurt, to kind of blow their narrative out of the water. Mm-hmm. How much does the United States contribute to the United Nations, Kurt?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Okay, and is that considered foreign aid? And, of course, Kurt, just so you know, that's not part of the definition, my friend, because it's broken down by country, you see, and the UN's not a country. Gotcha.
Yeah, that's what they say.
And they play these big old lies, buddy.
Is pretty broad. They say the largest portion of the money goes to health. They say a third of the U.S. foreign aid budget in 2014, or more than $5.3 billion. The next two biggest portions go toward economic development and humanitarian assistance. Then they say small sums of aid support democratic elections in other countries. We're talking about how the Russians, we say, are meddling in our elections. Well, we have a budget that goes to, do elections in other countries. Then they say a tiny portion goes to protect forests in countries where logging is destroying natural habitats. Some aid funds programs that train local law enforcement to combat drug trafficking. Yeah, that's really been working well for us. But they say, but no foreign aid goes directly toward another country's military. Okay, yeah. Because, you know, the military always keeps their hands off of any money coming in, and they say, oh, that we can't touch that. Then they say the vast majority of spending on health goes to HIV/AIDS projects. And then they talk about all these places.
But they go on and on, and they don't pay attention to how much we fund other militaries, Kurt. Yeah. By the way, the military-industrial complex is massive, but again, it doesn't fall under this definition of foreign aid, I don't think, Kurt. Then we talk about how much we arm and train and fund these enemies around the world. You ignore the United Nations. How much is the United Nations budget, Kurt? Just so you know, we pay about 22% of the UN's budget. Some say more.
Yeah, that's right. Then they say if you want to know more about foreign aid, you'll have an easier time of it than in years past. And they say details are at foreignassistance.gov. Right.
So let me tell you what they've done. They have narrowed the definition, and now they've published published statistics to where now they can use that as a talking point against you. And they're going to say, Sam, how much do you think is spent on the UN? I'm sorry, how much do you think is spent on foreign aid? I'm going to say, I don't know, but it's trillions of dollars. And they're going to laugh and go, you're not even close. It's less than 1% of the budget, you idiot. And then it's all based on this definition. And then, of course, if I try to get into the definition and I try to point out the military-industrial complex, or I try to point out the United Nations, then they'll laugh and they'll go, you don't even have a degree in economics, do you? You're an idiot. You don't even understand the definition of foreign aid. And then I'll be chopped off before I can give my rebuttal. And everything. They've done it to narrow down and change the discussion to where it's impossible to win unless you have enough of the media to tell the tale, Kurt. That's how it really
That's
is.
That's right. And to finish up this Kingman kind of article from NPR, the last paragraph says, the U.S. is pretty generous until you consider how much money it has. On the one hand, you can say that the U.S. is the most generous because it is one of the biggest donors to foreign aid, says Phyllis Pomerantz, a professor of public policy at Duke University. But, she goes on to say, on the other hand, we have one of the lowest percentages of gross national income donated to foreign aid, she says.
So now I got a question.
More,
Kurt.
That's the bottom line. Yeah.
Does it matter how much money I have in relation to how generous I am? In other words, if I give $1 million to something and somebody else gives $1.5 million to something, or $2 million to something, double what I give, do we look at their bank account and say somebody has more money than I do, so they're less generous than I am? Is that how we look at it? Or do we look at it honestly and say, hey, the guy that spent $2 million is giving more? Now, you could debate the sacrifice that it takes to give and all that, you know, go into the widow's mite and some of these things, but I'm hardly going to say the guy that put $2 million in as opposed to put the other guy that put $1 million in, the other guy's less generous. Okay, we are one of the most generous nations in the entire world, and we always have been. And I reject this notion about the foreign aid. It's a lie of how much we spend on it. But even if you take, 1%, Kurt, of the $4 trillion annual budget?
Well, the
how much is that,
to
Kurt?
Me, I don't know. It's a $4 billion, maybe. I'm not sure.
Okay, well, their numbers in the article don't even add up then, my friend.
Yeah.
And then they admit that there's a bunch of stuff off budget, right? Don't they admit that in the article right there?
Yeah, and the key thing to remember, at least to me, is that, you know, this isn't in the Constitution. We're not supposed to be doing this. And let's follow the rules, you know, the way it's supposed to be.
Imagine following the rules. There Kurt goes again, trying to obey the law and such. See, so I say this is two different issues because I want you to understand that in the minds of politicians, it is two different issues. This, quote, trade discussion that we're having, that Donald wants to have, this President Trump gets tough on the tariff discussions, and this foreign aid discussion. They want you to believe it's two different issues. I agree with Kurt that it's not two issues. In fact, the effort that they have to separate that is how they're deceiving you right now. Same thing with the United Nations money. They say that's not part of the, you know, foreign aid discussion. That's a third issue. And that's how they play games with these things, Kurt. They just carve out and create whatever definition and whatever issue they want to out of it. And then if you speak out of turn, you're out of bounds, and it gets confusing in a hurry. That's by design from these people, Kurt, because it's not that complicated. All we got to say is this. If we're going to talk about the money and products, import versus export, let's talk about the free money we export first. Because it's to the tune of billions and billions and billions of dollars, depending on what definition you use. But how can we talk about products and money, and we talk about a trade deficit where we're losing money? In other words, we export less than we import to the tune of billions and billions and billions of dollars every month. How can we have that discussion without talking about the free money we give away right off the top first? And how come Donald's not talking about that free money? Now, Rand Paul and others put together a bill to deal with this foreign aid fiasco, Kurt, but Donald's not even talking about it, buddy. Maybe he's not aware of it. You think Donald's not aware of the efforts of Rand Paul on this score, Kurt?
Well, they go golfing together.
Yeah. Well, do you think that Rand's brought it up to the Donald? Like, hey, this would be a great way to solve this.
I'm pretty sure he brought it up before, yeah. The way I remember it, anyway.
So all I'm telling you is I don't get it, Kurt, except to say that I don't believe Donald is as genuine in this discussion as he wants you to believe. Oh, he wants to create media firestorms, and he wants his Twitter account to blow up, and he certainly wants to be popular in the world as the great, quote, negotiator. But the first way you negotiate is you just say, hey, any country that's getting foreign aid, it's going away, my friends. Because it's not part of the trade deficit plan, okay? We're not doing it. And then we can say, hey, to all those countries that we just got rid of the foreign aid, how many of those countries badmouth us and beat us up and charge us tariffs? We're going to slap an equivalent or a reciprocal tariff that matches theirs on them right away. Hey, Mexicans, you want to talk about the wall? See? But I don't think Donald will really bring it to the brink like you have, Kurt. I don't think he'll really expose it, merge the issues together as they really ought to be, because they are one issue, and talk about them. And so I highlight that they're different issues, not because I agree that they are, but because that's what they've done to play games, to deceive you into misunderstanding this issue, Kurt. Any final word on that? It's a critical point to understand.
I think we got it covered.
All right. Anyway. How much of Uncle Sam's money goes to foreign aid? Well, if you can't define what foreign aid is, it's really hard to tell, you know? Wow. All right, movie stars are in the news, Kurt. Kurt loves to talk about these movie stars. And I guess the movie stars are getting more and more and more political, aren't they, Kurt?
Well, this is one that I've never really heard of, Sam. And so it probably means that he's probably a pretty good guy because, you know, the standard movie industry doesn't promote him. Guy's name is Antonio Sabato Jr. And I guess in a WorldNet Daily piece, he divulged the fact that the movie industry, there's some or many, he says, in Hollywood and the movie industry secretly support President Trump. And they're itching, he says, to take California back from the grips of socialist Democrats. This guy's an Italian, they call him a heartthrob actor, with a striking grin that makes women swoon. And he's he knows this deep secret about Hollywood that could crush the best reputations and instantly kill established careers, that is. He says, I can focus on the negative that's coming from Hollywood or focus on the positive. But he's even running for Congress out there in California, Sam, and he's an immigrant from Italy. Actually did it right. Came here and, you know, followed all the rules and the paperwork and stuff, and now he's telling folks, let's make America and even California great again.
But the headline doesn't make sense. It says this movie star dishes on plan to win back California. Dishes is not a good word, is it?
Well, that's disses. He's saying, here's how to do it in this story.
We got to talk about that. I understand disses, but let's talk about this story more because I think it's fascinating. We'll do it in seconds. Hour one of the can, hour two coming up, LibertyRoundTable.com. This nation shall endure.